38, are you 8?
So I talked to a new Mestastic bro by me last night. Apparently he's got buddies out by me, and they're planning on building out their own little network.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, I got to meet up with a buddy of mine today or tomorrow, hopefully. Time is finite, but he's the one that kept pushing me to get back into Meshtastic, and with the amount of stuff that all the Who Cares guys have figured out in the Meshtastic world, they leapfrogged him by miles, so I gotta go catch up with him and try to give him the rundown of the little bit that I do understand. So that's awesome that they're building a network out by you.
Yeah, we might be able to cover a lot of ground based on what he was telling me. So he's right by me. He's north of me. I'm putting one of those pie hats in my attic, and then I can beam to town, which is only about a mile and a half, 2 miles, where his other buddy's at. And then if you go another 3-ish miles from there, you're at Bruce Township Fire Department, which is where the dude by me works, and he said there's a 100-foot tower that they plan on putting one on. So, you know, that's like 7 miles, 8 miles of ground covered just from us three. And then the next challenge would be figuring out how to get further south from there, but, I mean, progress is progress.
Absolutely. I mean, you just really need connectivity RF, right? Like, it's fun. I've hooked all my stuff to the Who Cares MQTT stuff, so I have one channel that's MQTT, but it really doesn't matter. I want RF coverage. I mean, it's fun to play with and tinker with the MQTT and, you know, be able to chat a little bit, but it's useless unless it's RF.
NADBF. I will not use MQTT. If I wanted to do that, I would just open Telegram on my $1,300 iPhone and talk to them that way. So I am RF only, and that's the only way I'm going to do this. The other thing I noticed with MQTT is it dilutes the results of what you're getting, because you don't know if it's coming in on MQTT or if it's coming in on RF, because even if you filter out the MQTTs, they still show up, and even if you're direct messaging someone what you think is RF, but you have MQTT on, and so do they on another channel, it sends it via MQTT. So I'm not turning it on.
So I could be wrong in my understanding, but the way that Dave instructed me to set mine up was to just have MQTT on one channel. So my understanding of it was is the other three channels that I have are RF, and then the one is set to uplink, downlink, and that's the only one that the MQTT is active on.
Yeah, I did that, and it didn't work. I had Who Cares on MQTT, and then I was getting all kinds of random crap in my node database, and then I would go to test a direct message to, like, Dave or Greg, which was not MQTT, and it would deliver, and then as soon as I turned off MQTT, it would not deliver.
Well, that's interesting. I will have to do a little bit of checking on that. But, yeah, I mean, mine without the MQTT on, I was discovering nodes everywhere, but not, I wasn't discovering a lot of the Who Cares guys. Actually, I think one of your nodes popped up on my, I reflashed both of mine last night, and I think one of yours popped up, which was, I assumed it was because you were on MQTT.
which one was it, because that's what I'm getting at. Like, if I'm RF, who cares? But someone else has MQTT on, then it's going to relay it. It's stupid.
I got you. Yeah, that's interesting. So it's almost like it's good and bad that there's one relay that's connected to the internet, but it also is bad because you want it all RF so that it's off-grid.
It would be totally fine if it was legitimately isolated and it wasn't running in the background when you thought it was off or when you thought it was only on one channel. But like you just said, right, I don't have MQTT on, but you're seeing me how many miles away. And that's because it was hopping into, you know, a node that MQTT is on and they have forwarding on.
So as we're having this conversation, my thought process is that's one more reason why, and don't get me wrong, I'm having fun with this, but this is total nonsense, and, like, the hype is not real. Because we could establish this vast network of nodes that function flawlessly, and then the second the internet goes down, the whole thing will collapse if one node that's on a tower or on a tall building has MQTT turned on.
That's how I interpret it. I'd rather have a Bofang than a Yagi.
Again, it's fun to play with, relatively inexpensive. I'm not, like, walking away from it because this revelation I just had, but it does make you less trusting of it. You know, that's like, I love this UV Pro, but its dependence on the app and the internet is wild. And even like I use, I checked into that APRS net last night that I sent you, and even after I turned my radio off, I'm using that APRS FI on my iPhone, even after I turn my radio off, I'm still getting the messages back from the other people checking in. So it's almost like, why did I even use my radio? I'm getting frustrated, and I think this is probably going to be the tipping point of where I need to go get my general license, because all of these modes are so internet dependent, and I need some long-range communication.
That's correct. Unfortunately, and from what I've done and noticed, you're 100% right. A lot of the tech area activities that you can do are very heavily reliant on internet and a computer or additional gadgets. And, I mean, obviously, repeaters, Sean's network is a totally different story. Simplex is a totally different story. But Simplex with an HT is pretty damn hard to do around here, especially for us because we're all so far apart. So I agree, but yeah, general's where it's at. I approach this kind of stuff with, like, the most boomer mentality I possibly can because I want it to be as independent, analog, you know, old school as possible because working in the tech industry and in the, doing what I do, like, this shit's just not reliable.
Well, it's like anything else. You're outsourcing your ability to do something when you're reliant on whatever that something is, right? The internet, power, gas, any supply chain, whatever. So it's just interesting. You get deeper and deeper. You get excited about some of this stuff, and then you go, man, it's just an app on my phone. Like, I could have done that without connecting it to the radio. And it's pretty frustrating, you know. At minimum, if I was to check in from my radio and then hit an iGate or a DigiPeter, at least I went RF to the internet. I'm trying to figure out if there was any RF involved in my checking into that APRS net. And as I'm processing it in my head, I don't think there was, which is a little frustrating.
And I'm not trying to poo-poo anything. I've done it and I've experienced it and I know, you know, I always say it, I'm not a prepper. Like, that's not why I'm against that kind of stuff, but, like, if I'm doing this hobby, right, like, alternative means of communications, radio, and all that stuff, I don't want to be dependent on the internet. If I was dependent on the internet, I wouldn't need the radio, you know what I mean?
Oh, totally. And, you know, I agree with you, and it's almost one of those things where, like you said, not as much, but your statement about, well, if I wanted to talk over the internet, I would just do it on Telegram. And you're right. But, you know, I'm sure there's cool things you can do, and you need the internet in play. But, I mean, me personally, I didn't get in this to pass data packets. I wanted to talk to people and figure out how radio waves work, not how the internet works.
I mean, it's cool. Everyone's learning stuff. I don't hate Meshtastic. I mean, I'm enjoying tinkering with it, especially now that I've reset my nodes. There's no MQTT on them. It's a little bit better. Upgrading the Echo was cool, so that new battery's awesome. The thing, I'm going on day 3 now. And the new antenna made a huge difference. So, I mean, that stuff's cool. I love tinkering with hardware. But my next target is undoubtedly another portable HF setup.
K8RUH. Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. I'm having fun with this Meshtastic, and like we've been saying all along, one day maybe it'll be something, but without adoption, it's not going to be anything. Man, look at 2 months ago, you and I talking about Meshtastic and where we're at today. It's night and day difference. We all have a much greater understanding of it, and I think we're acknowledging it's a toy right now, but I think it's created a ton of conversation and everybody's had fun with it.
I don't disagree, especially with our group, right? Everyone's kind of high-speed head first in everything that suits our interests, so I'm not surprised that it's turning into what it's turning into. Dave made a good point yesterday. He's like, okay, so we get all this working, and we have this network.
That's absolutely true, right? Once we have it all there, the problem is then you have it all there, we all move on, and then do we all forget to maintain it and upgrade and, you know, do all that stuff so that if one day it is something that's useful, are we starting over again? That'd be my only concern. But I think... I think it'll continue to change. You and I have been talking for a long time. The over-the-air updates are going to change the game. When that happens, I think it will explode, actually. It'll be great for that system. But I don't know. We'll see what happens. My T-Deck should be here tomorrow. Kind of excited for that, just to play with it. See where I can get with that, make that my everyday carry.
NADF, I am patiently waiting for a firmware update on that thing that makes it a useful standalone device. Even with the Meshtastic firmware on there, it's I don't know. I'm probably looking at it the wrong way. I'm looking at it like a phone, where, like, I want to be able to flip through different menus to do different things, kind of like the app, and it's nothing like that. It's like, here's your pages,
here's some keyboard shortcuts to do some stuff, type to send a message. I'm having a hard time even viewing messages received.
Yeah, I can totally understand what you're saying, because I think listening to what you're saying, I may be a bit frustrated with it, because I, like you, would like it to be, have a user interface just like a phone, right? And it might be because of its form factor, you have that expectation, but, yeah, it's tough. The reason I was asking you what firmware you were running, or what, you know, what you were running yesterday is because I have a buddy that he flashed the WhizBang UI on there, and he was absolutely struggling. He couldn't get it to connect with anything, and so I figured I would ask you, and you had the same answer as what he was experiencing.
The good thing is it only takes a few minutes to flash that custom firmware on there with the launcher, so it's not a huge deal. You know, definitely try it so you can see firsthand and be like, whoa, this is alpha. What's before alpha? It's a concept at this point. And then it's easy to flash it back to Meshtastic. But yeah, no, the T-Deck's cool. I can't tell if the keyboard's horrible or if I'm just that bad at typing on a physical keyboard now, which is probably the case. I don't blame the T-Deck. But I thought it would be quick to type on, but man, it is hard to hit those little buttons and not screw it up.
Yeah, we'll see. It's, you know, I bought it as a toy, hoping it would work well. We'll see. You know, I got other nodes, and it was just a cool, it's a cool concept that I would imagine eventually should turn into something. Somebody should be able to put together a good beta software for it, because, you know, those things are all in, they're $100 with the case and the battery and the GPS and all that stuff. Like, people must be buying those things like crazy. I got to imagine there's demand for it.
On paper, it's the sexiest looking node you can get, and then you get it, and it's cool. But yeah, it's got a long way to go. I think for the money, and from what I've touched and experienced so far, if you're making a mobile node, I think the Echo is the best one. It's got a nice case. It's small. It's got everything. It works well. I think that's my favorite so far. I'm debating on building a mobile rack. I think I might do that. But and then those Helltechs are good too, but they're battery hungry, so I've been kind of hesitant to do that because the fact that I can go, I'm going on 3 days now with no charge on this Echo is pretty handy. Not that like I'm far from power ever, but it's nice that I don't have to worry about it being dead versus you know, a Helltech or a T-Deck that's just going to eat through battery, or the T-Beam that I had, you barely get a day out of it.
Yeah, I have Helltech V3, and it is pretty power hungry, and the other one that I have is a, let me see, it's a Helltech T114, and that one's a little bit better on battery, but it also runs a GPS, so it's, it, you know, nothing is great. That node that I have on the roof, though, man, that thing is awesome. It's at 95% right now. We had the sun for a couple days, and that thing just holds out strong.
Which one do you run in a car? Which mag mount do you have? And which node is on top of the house?
The one on the roof of the house is it's a Rack WhizBlock 4631. The one in my car that's always in there is the T114, and I think think I sent you the mag mount antenna that I use. It's just a AliExpress special. I paid $3.18 for it.
That T114 is like a development board, right? They're like $18 and super small and basic.
You know what? I think so. I'm not 100% sure. I bought the MuziWorks H1 and H2. The H2 is the one that has the T114. I wanted, at the time, everybody wasn't going bonkers on it, so I wanted something that was kind of plug and play, and those two devices were definitely plug and play.
I'm hoping it picks up around me because I really want to put some effort into building an outdoor one with like a legitimate 12-volt solar panel and a solar controller and all that stuff, but I don't know if spending $200 to flop a box in my yard is going to be beneficial, but the rack that you have on your roof I think is what I put in that little enclosure, which is garbage. It is the worst solar panel. From the reviews I've read, it's useless. From Reddit, it's useless. So from my experience, it's useless. So my plan is when I get that solar panel from you is rehouse that rack into the smallest enclosure I can and run it that way. Maybe I don't know if I'm going to buy 18650s or if I'm going to, do I have to for the solar panel? Never mind. I was going to say it where I can just put some battery packs in the housing, but I was debating on putting a mag mount on the truck, but then I got to figure out what kind of node I want in here, then I got to power it and all that stuff, so my Echo just sits, there's a little cubby above my radio, and I mean, I'm driving right now and I'm getting notifications picking up new nodes, so I don't know how much I would gain from that mag mount, but I'm sure it would help a little bit.
Yeah, you know what, actually, I unhooked my mag mount antenna yesterday to take it in and into the house and reflash it. I might wait a while before I rehook that up because, you know, when I originally bought that 3 months ago, there wasn't half the nodes around town that there are now. So I'm wondering did I just need that extra reach to get some more nodes or, you know, what the deal was. So I'm gonna play it by ear, figure out what I'm gonna do, and I mean I'm sure I'll hook it back up. The problem is like you said, is the powering of the device. You know, I'm rotating out a small battery bank, like a cell phone charger, and to keep it charged. And usually I can go to a week and a half, 2 weeks without messing with it with the internal battery and the battery bank, so it works out well.
My other thought with these mag mounts is they have coax on them, and at 915 1 watt, that coax is eating it. So is it really doing you any good? Yes, you've got the antenna outside, but now you're introducing way more loss than if you just had a node sitting on the dash.
I would agree with that, but then you also run into, you know, like, the difference is like, on your pickup truck, you probably have a great dash to put stuff on. In my car, I don't have a good dash to put stuff on, so it's kind of a pain in the butt. But, you know, just got to get it figured out so that I have a node with me most of the time.
My only complaint is the cubby above my radio, which is meant for, like, holding your sunglasses or a phone or whatever. The Echo kind of flops around if I accelerate or if I hit the brakes, so what I'm going to do is probably fab up, or design, I should say, a 3D-printed little insert that the Echo slips into so it just sticks straight up and down, and that'll probably be what I run. And if I need to, I got USB-C ports right under it that I can just plug it into. That's honestly probably what I'll do for a mobile node, and just leave it in the truck.
Yeah, and then in my car, none of my, whether it's my USB ports or the cigarette lighters are constant power. So everything shuts off when the car shuts off. So I've played around with that. Excuse me, with that. So we'll see. I mean, it's not that big of a deal. I mean, I could take it in at night and charge it if I have to.
Yeah, it's not life or death if these things work, that's for sure.
Nope, and I wouldn't even rely on them. What we're talking on now is exponentially more reliable than those things. So, it's just, again, just a toy.
What's cool, though, is I gotta look it up, but I think the radius circles around the nodes on the map are kind of like a footprint or something I've hit on my travels, and there are four of them from like 23 Mile Road to Hall Road, just south of Hall Road, and then heading east on Hall Road. So pretty much my whole drive, aside from, you know, the northern parts of 53, there's nodes, which is actually pretty cool to see. So now I'm thinking, you know, I get one on the roof of this building, and then they'll be able to see that, and then this whole area will be lit up.
Yeah, the coverage is definitely expanding. Sorry about that. I just had to hop out of the car and started pumping gas.
No, you're good. I'm covered in gas because the pump was screwed up this morning again.
That sounds like awful to smell like gasoline all day.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. It's the second time it's happened where the pumps are jacked up and then I go to, it'll turn off, and then I go to turn it back on, and then gas sprays everywhere, and then I gotta go to the next pump. It's a good time.
What'd you pay for gas this morning?
$3.25.
You need to start getting your gas at Costco, brother.
I am that guy that, out of convenience, will fill up at the gas station a mile from my house. I cannot remember the last time I got gas at a different gas station.
I just paid $2.68.
Well, hopefully in about 4 days we'll see that start to go down.
It may not be immediate, but it should start happening.
I am patiently looking forward to it, but I just got to the office. I'm going to get in here, and I got to go down. They were like 15 in Mac today, so that's sweet. So I'm going to get in and go get some stuff done before I head out, but maybe I'll catch you later on the drive home. If not, I'll talk tomorrow morning or whatever. Talk to you every day. We'll talk to you sooner or later, so I'll be clear after yours. NADBF.
Cool. Have a great day. Hey, I think my current plan is to drop my daughter off at school tomorrow and come right over to you, drop off the solar panel, pick up that iGate and the other Pi if you have it with you.
I've got the iGate. Remind me to put another Pi in the car.
Sounds good. Probably be 8:30, 8:45.
I'll be here. NADBF.
KE8RUH. I'll be monitoring.
KSF listening.
Hey, do you want it?
ABS.
I hear somebody far away.
NAKPP W8FU.
Done with this for a while.
you have every other, yeah, the rest of the 49 all confirmed.
They're all confirmed, and like I said, the 50th has worked. They've worked one Delaware station, and he's good. He's just, he hasn't uploaded. I emailed him a couple of days ago, you know, just a polite inquiry, nothing. So, he's probably about as motivated as I am, but anyway. Yeah, that.
Roger. So I'm going through that area where the tornado touched down, probably going on a couple of years ago now, out here past Collierville before you get to Lansing. It's like amazing to start. What? Oklahoma. It ran along the freeway for several miles, so you could just see the destruction spread out. But, always, every time I go by it, it's right. But anywho, yeah, as far as the, mine was, Idaho pretty sure mine was Idaho or Wyoming. One of those two was the last one for me that was just being persnickety. And then I got it. I got the whole case match in really short order. And, then I did all them, QRZ awards, you know, I don't know what they call them, Master of North America, Master of Europe. Whatever they call it. Stupid little low-hanging fruit. I got the Asian one, though, and I could probably get that knocked out in a good weekend. And thus we're going to have a corona hole at all, but I should get my pinky ready.
Yeah. It's funny because I've, you know, slowly the DXCC and digital has crept up. It's at 52 right now. I'm like, oh, okay, that's halfway there. Well, it's more than halfway there because, or maybe less because, you know, the first 50 are easier. But anyway, there's I've chip away at that when I get motivated again, but I need to get back to doing some real radio for a bit. But in the meantime, I'm still FT8 in the way. I don't know that stretch of the freeway where the I don't know that I've ever been a passenger in a car going that way lately. You know, any time I was there, I was always driving, and I missed the landscape. I'll have to look next time I'm out that way. I just missed that memo somehow.
Oh, you won't miss it, driving or passenger. You can't. Collierville on 96. And it runs, I don't know how far it runs to. Not quite the Lansing. Williamson, Vanville, I don't know. I don't know the stops on the map out that this way. But anyhow, if you're heading west, and you get to Fowler Building. From there, you know, there are several miles of just, you know, where the everything, now they cleaned it up, you know. So now, you know, all the debris is all cleaned up, and now all that's left is this tree that just, you know, you can see they've been stripped of everything. And they had a very well-defined, you know, swath. But, yeah, if you've been out this way, you can get that for sure. You know, there's a bit of it, and then you don't see it for a little while, and then you see it again for a stretch, and then that's it. But ran for several miles, pretty much right along 96, a few years back. But so the FDA, so the DXCC stuff. Now you've had that probably 10 times over. When you say you're at 52, FDA or a specific band FDA?
Yes. So 52 countries digital, which is all FTA, and I haven't done anything else. And I've done it all on 30 meters. So again, for whatever reason, I decided to handicap myself with that band. So that's where the work all states is. At 49 is on 30 meters, FTA. So haven't done any FTA in any other bands, and At least not of any significance. You know, a year or two ago when I messed around with it, just to, you know, work you and Don and a couple of other people just getting it working. But, so yeah, so it's 52 on ST8 digital, and again, all 30 meters. So the rest of it, again, I just need to find some motivation. But this one last darn state, you know, if that falls into place, it's the Triple Play Award, it's worked all states digital, it's worked all states 30, you know, it's three awards in one on one, one last QSL.
No, that's cool. And DXPC on 30 ought not be terrible. That's a pretty good band to pick. You're going to pick one. So you'll get it. You just got to get out there and get those. What are you running for antenna on 30? I think you told me. I think you're just tuning whatever you got for 40, or you got something a little bit more specific.
Yeah, at 30 meters, I'm using my 80-meter dipole, which, you know, is a third wavelength or third harmonic. It's close. It's not exactly right. The FWR is high, way higher than what you'd hope it to be, but it's close enough. I actually thought about cutting new wires for my 40-meter antenna, 40-meter dipole, much heavier wires, because right now it's suspended on kind of lightweight 40-meter legs, you know, adding much heavier 40-meter wire to the dipole and then cutting the existing lightweight wires down to 30 meters and just have a fan 40-30 dipole instead of the 80. That would probably help me a lot, but the weather is against me. Yeah, and on 30 meters, I've got 114 countries, but the vast majority of those were, you know, CW from over the years. So the digital just took me over the edge for the DXCC on 30, and now it's just filling in the rest of them on FT8 for DXCC digital. And again, then I need to be done. It's, I don't know. It's something to do, but it's not holding my attention here. K8BB.
All right, I forgot about that. Yeah, the 80-meter wires will tune up on 30. And I think if you got to cut them low, and mine's real low right now. I managed to get it tuned up at 3805 the other day. You know, so that, you know, I don't know how good it's working, but I did get it tuned up there. But it's even lower than it needs to be. I mean, you know, if it was down around 36 or something, that'd be, you know, 35, that'd be great. I think it's even longer than that. I really got to get it trimmed down, and I had all summer to do it, and I didn't. And so now here I said, you know, paying the price for my apathy. Oh well. But it should tune up on 30 pretty well, because if I understand correctly, you know, the lower they are, the more likely they are to get you on 30.
Yeah, I think you're right, and that's what I thought was my advantage, was because my antenna is cut down for CW, you know, so its FWR dip on that thing is like right at 3.5 or 3550 or something like that. It's low. So I thought I would be close enough to get to, you know, 10.1. And again, it's okay. You know, heck, I've got 40 countries and, or well, 50 countries and almost 50 states. So in a matter of, what, 3 or 4 weeks of moderate operating. So I'm not going to complain too much. But I think if I want to finish that last 50 on 30, if I want to stick to 30 on that for the digital, I may have to pull the 40-meter antenna down, rebuild it for 40 with heavier wire, and then cut the 30 down, or cut the lightweight legs down for 30, and have another dual band antenna. Again, it's going to require motivation.
I think I'll check that when I get home, see how I'm tuned up on 30. If I'm looking good on 30, I might start a KATD Memorial attack on Work All Space and DXDC. I might do the same. I'll have to see how I'm doing. Give me some excuse to get out there and do something. I find apathy kills me all the time. What the hell? This iPhone has been weird. Sitting there driving along for the last hour with the map up, and then all of a sudden I look over and it's just shut down. Not the phone, the app. So, this one I'm coming, says I'm 8 miles out from my destination. It's over here, 127 and 96. And all of a sudden it's shut down. Also looks like, oh, my battery might be ultra low. I don't know if I bought a cord for this one. Oops. Have to switch over to the good old Android.
Android. Yeah, I find that if I, on my iPhone, if I'm on the map app and then I have to take a phone call, when the phone call's done, it does not go back to the map app. I have to reach over and get it back to that display. There might be a setting, or I don't know, maybe that's just its default behavior, but it's annoying sometimes because, you know, I'm like, I need to know where I'm going, and when I'm done with the phone call, I got to fuss with the thing to get back to the, to show the map. Oh, well.
Yeah, I'll just stick with my Android, my Google Map. I understand. I've used Waze quite a bit, but I always just keep coming back to Google Map. Familiar, convenient. So, that's just me. I wanted to try the Apple Maps today, because I've never done that. I've had three or four things. Now, if I were a regular power, you know, or Apple user, iPhone user, you know, maybe these things would all be well known to me and mitigated, but not being an iPhone guy, I always struggle with the iPhone quirkiness, and I'm sure somebody that had an Android would probably discover some quirkiness that I now no longer even notice. So, just the nature of the beast when you hitch your wagon to one or the other.
Yeah, the Apple Map, Apple Map app, it's okay, but I don't use it. I default to Google Maps just about exclusively. It's got a good interface. It always seems to have good real-time, you know, traffic stuff. So I've just kind of always done that and probably will always do that. It does occasionally, like if you're in your text messages, if you get a message and someone has an address in there and you click it, it will sometimes go to the Apple Map app by default. And I think there's a setting in there someplace I haven't found. But a couple of the business, with our appointment schedules for showings and things, when I hit the Map app, it automatically goes to Google. It's set up that way. So anyway, yeah, probably someone yelling, who cares, in the background, but anyway.
Well, they didn't get you, but might have got me. Anyhow, where am I here? Not terribly far. The no, I can get a smooth ride home, although when they cut me loose at 4, if they cut you loose at 4, that puts you in the, at 96, 275 area. At just about the worst possible time. The ride home is 2 hours, it's a minute. So they cut you loose at 4, you don't get home until 6, and that's if everything goes smoothly. Royal pain in the butt. I wish they would move this up earlier in the day. Make it in the morning. Like at 10 o'clock would be ideal. That way I can get up at my normal time, spend, the first couple hours of the day driving out there, cut you loose around lunch. That would be ideal. But no. 2 o'clock in Lansing. God, I hate 2 o'clock meetings. We got people coming from all over the state, too. You know, that's me. Think about how bad it is for the guy that comes from Mackinac or the guy that comes from the Sioux when he comes. Good grief.
Yeah. That needs to be an 11 o'clock meeting. So, you know, you leave in the morning, you get there, you got time to get back home. Well, I can't think of a better person. I was going to say something. I forgot what it was. Oh, you had dropped out for a minute. I'm not sure if you were on an RF link or if you're on a node cellular, but you kind of dropped out for a moment, a transmission or two ago, but obviously you're back now.
Yeah, I don't know. I've been kind of self-alancing. My exit is coming up here in a mile, so I'm going to probably clear here and pay attention. But it's a good see where I'm at. There's a can't be spotty coverage out this way. Although, I'm outside of Lansing, so. Yep, here's my exit right now. So I am not far. We'll just write it off as that. Thanks for the ride. I am, there we go. There's my exit right there. Getting off at Lansing Road South. Exit 98A. And that puts me about a mile from my destination. Again, thanks for the ride. And catch you later. KATC after yours. W8FC.
Okie dokie. Drive safe coming home. Have fun. W8FU, KATB.
KK7CU from Whiskey 8 Echo Alpha Papa. KK7CU from W8EAP.
I must have connected.
KE8RUH.
W8FU. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sean. I was wondering where you were this morning. I took a page out of your book this morning and stopped and got a breakfast sandwich. It was glorious.
A Big Apple?
Unfortunately, no. That would have been wildly out of my way, but I stopped at Panera and got a bagel sandwich, which was very good.
You know, a lot of people, you know, talk doo-doo about Panera, but I found their food pretty good. I get it. It's not really cheap, but it's always pretty high quality and pretty good. I do enjoy getting I almost went there this afternoon. And of all things, I went to Bob Evans and got a breakfast. In Fowlerville? Where was it? Howell? I can't remember where I was. I think it was in Howell. And that was good because I hadn't been to Bob Evans in years. So it wasn't as good as I remembered, but it was good. But I almost went to Panera, which was right next door.
I have not been to Bob Evans in years, but I bet it looks exactly the same inside, and the people look the same inside also.
Hold on, my phone's ringing. I'll be back. W8FU.
Is that you, Anthony?
Yep. Who am I talking to?
This is Eric, W8EAPM at work, so I'm kind of in and out here. Can't talk long. Just wanted to wave my hand.
Gotcha. Hello, hello, and enjoy the last few hours of your work day.
Yep, about 2 more hours to go. All right. Catch you later. W8EAP.
Catch you later. KE8RUH. I'll be monitoring. KE8RUH, monitoring.
Okay, I'm back. And, there's a Starbucks at the next exit. Oh, man, I got to do that. Or do I?
What's at the next exit?
Starbucks. But you know what? I think I'm going to blow past it. I'm going to see how far I can get. I'm still in Lansing. I'd like to get a few miles behind me.
It's a catch-22. Sometimes you want to just get on your way, and sometimes you need that caffeine to get on your way. A cup of coffee sounds delicious right now.
Well, of course, you know, they wouldn't buy me a remote start vehicle. Now they can't help it. All the cars have them. This was like a 2016 or something. I forget what it is that I'm driving now. How many miles? Got 74,000 on it, so they're not going to, I can't even entertain them replacing this for another 50,000. Got to break into the 100 before they'll consider. And it's been a perfectly good car. Not a thing wrong with it, knock on wood. But they didn't get me remote start with it, so it's always freezing cold. Man, I'll tell you what, it was cold when I came out here. If the car wouldn't have warmed up, I would have been at that Starbucks getting myself something nice and warm to drink, but it warmed up pretty good.
Yep. You know, and it is cold, don't get me wrong, but it, right now I'm on 75 and 11 mile. It's 30 degrees, and 4 days from now they're saying it's going to be low single digits. So we got some cold temperatures coming to us.
We had somebody remoted in to our meeting. We were at a conference down in Florida, and they're complaining. They said, it's cold down here. And almost everybody simultaneously chuckled. And we were like, yeah, define cold. And, it was like 50. And we're like, geez. Now, having said that, you go to Florida, that's kind of a ripoff. 50 degrees, it's like, come on.
Yeah, I would be fairly disappointed if I was in Florida and it was 50 degrees. But I have a tendency of going places where the weather's supposed to be good, and then it's not good. When I was in San Diego, it rained. When I was in Scottsdale, Arizona, it rained. You know, these places are the places you go because it's sunny and 70 all the time, and not when I'm there, apparently.
Oh, yeah, San Diego has a long, long reputation for being sunny in 70, period. Wow. You hit it at a weird time. I didn't even know it could rain in San Diego. Wasn't there a movie about that with Steve Martin?
I don't know. There definitely could be, though. But, yeah, it was a real bummer. It was like, I don't know, 55 and raining for 2 of the 3 days I was there or something like that. But it was still beautiful. I'd go back and experience it being warmer, that's for sure.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of the movie, but Steve Martin, I think he was a weatherman in San Diego, and he was just absolutely, and you know, that was the whole point, because he was just so absolutely, you know, just his life was so boring and predictable. And Broderick, she was in Sex and the City. Why can't I think of her name? Anyhow, she was really young then. She was like a young up-and-coming actress, I think. That's how long ago this movie was. And he's dating her for a little while. But it's one of these, you know, things where, you know, he's an older guy and he finally meets somebody age appropriate and you hit it off. But it's all about the goofiness of that whole area, San Diego. Or was it L.A.? I think it was San Diego. I don't know. But I remember it being a good and funny movie.
I'll have to look that up when I get home or ask my wife. She'll certainly know. She's a movie buff.
I want to try. I can't remember the name. Everybody knows the name of that darn actress that I'm thinking of. She was in Sex and the City. She's like the main character. Married to Matthew Broderick. You know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly who you're talking about. I can see her face, but I can't tell you her name. Yeah, I don't know. I'll think of it, though.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Thank you. Anyhow, so if you find a movie with her Steve Martin, I was going to say, am I going to stop brain fart on that? And her and Steve Martin, and if that's the movie, might be something as simple as like L.A. Story or something like that. But anyhow, who was that? Was that Dakota?
That was Ben. I was at the bank drive-thru, turned the radio on, I heard you guys talking about it. I was like, oh, I know!
Hey, how you doing, Ben? Well, very good. Yeah. Pick me,
I know.
Go ahead, Anthony.
At least we know who it was now. As soon as he said it, I was like, oh yeah, that's your name.
Yeah, I think it was L.A. Story, Sean. I'm pretty sure that was the name of it.
Right. And so, I mean, I thought he was in San Diego. That's what started this whole thing. I don't know how great you came along in the conversation, Ben, but we were talking. But he was talking about being in San Diego and it was raining, and I remember Steve Martin's character in that. I thought he was a weatherman in San Diego, and they were kind of making him how monotonous it was to be a weatherman in San Diego because it's always sunny in the 70s, and that was part of the shtick, you know, But it's called L.A. Story, so you kind of wonder, was he in San Diego, or maybe he moved to L.A.? I don't know. What do I know? And it's really not important.
You're right, it's really not important. But, you know, something being important is relative, right? It's a movie, it's entertaining, so it could be important.
All right, power of Google. Harris K. Telemacher, Steve Martin, has the easiest job in the world. He's a TV weatherman in Los Angeles where the weather is so predictable, he does his forecast days in advance. Blah, blah, blah. It's precisely what you're talking about.
All right, well, the only part I had wrong was I thought he was in San Diego. So, L.A., what are you, go fishing. So, anyhow, speaking of television, I don't know if you saw the discussion about, you know, what are you watching, and I got caught up in that Silo science fiction, that Apple TV production Silo, and man, I really, really enjoyed the first dystopian science fiction film with a mystery as to what's going on, and I really, really enjoyed the first season of that, and I started watching the second a couple of days ago, and not nearly as enthralled with season two so far, but yeah, I'm actually seeing the first one. I would watch an episode and it's like, I don't know if I want to watch another one, because if I watch another one I'll be that closer to the end, you know, and so I want to wait, savor it, you know, and all that stuff. And so I was really having this dilemma how fast I wanted to go through up to season one. Now season two it's like, yeah I'll watch another one. It's just not, season two is not quite doing it for me. But I don't know if you followed any of that, Anthony, but I still really give it a big thumbs up, but season two is not quite as exciting as season one was. But you know what? You hear that a lot.
Yes, you do. I have not watched any of it. I saw you guys were watching it, but I do not have Apple TV at the moment, so I haven't been keeping up on anything that's on there. Actually, haven't had Apple TV in a long time. But there's definitely a lot of series that the first season is incredible, and then they just can't hold up to that benchmark the second go-round. Like you said, it is not uncommon to feel that way.
Where'd you go, Ben? Have you seen that one, Silo, science fiction, click on Apple TV?
I have not. A buddy of mine was telling me about it. I have not had a chance to check it out. I'll be honest with you guys. I mean, I'm not a huge TV person anymore these days. For whatever reason, I get stuck down YouTube rabbit holes. And my latest obsession has been building these little diesel heaters for my father-in-law so he can take them ice fishing. So I've been stuck in taking these cheap Chinese diesel heaters and making them better. So I don't know. I'm sort of a hands-on guy. I've kind of lost the television and movies have lost their shine on me. I don't know if it's because I just got old or whatever, but I know my wife is, like, glued to the... She does what you do, Sean. She's like a binge watcher. She'll do 3 or 4 seasons in a sitting, and it's like, dude, come on, let's go do something else.
Well, that's just it. I go in first, you know. It's like I won't watch any TV for forever, you know, and it's like I haven't watched anything. There's so many things I haven't seen, and then something will just trigger me, and I'll get... I started watching... I forget what it was. I started watching something else, and I can't remember what exactly it was. I don't know if it was like Yellowstone or something. But I got sucked into something. So I was back to watching a little TV, and then I enjoyed it, so I started looking around. Well, I wonder if there's something else good to watch, you know? So now I'm in this... somebody has suggested this silo thing online, and so I decided to look it up, and I'm quite enjoying it, but, you know, but I go in spurts. Right now I'm kind of in a... I try to watch an episode or two, you know, every night, but I often don't watch any because I just get... And again, it's a YouTube hole. Some, more often than not, you know, I'll get online. I'll say, well, I want to check this out, or I want to read up about this, or I want to, you know, watch. You know, right now we're all monkeying around with this special task that's crap. And so, you know, I'll get beaten up on that or something else. Next thing you know, I'm, you know, I just spent an hour and a half, you know, down or 2 hours down a sinkhole on YouTube. I was like, oh, my God, I just blew. Not only did I blow 2 hours, but I didn't get in. The whole purpose, I turned the TV on, because my TV and my computer are one and the same. So, you know, the whole purpose of me turning this on was to catch an episode of this. And I did twice as long, and I didn't even accomplish that. What the hell? Anthony?
I am 100% in on that, Sean. I do that exact thing. Last night, I think, without even realizing it, an hour and a half, 2 hours went by of me trying to reflash these mesh-tastic devices and finally got them all set back up, and then I was texting with you guys on Telegram, and then it was like, oh, crap, I didn't get anything done tonight, and it's, you know, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, whatever it was, and then I went to bed. And I don't even feel bad that I didn't catch any television. I got something accomplished and had fun doing it, so it is what it is.
My latest foray into the cheap Chinese diesel heaters, I've somehow went down a rabbit hole of trying to stuff one into a Milwaukee pack-out box. So I've been doing that. So. For me, it's sort of hands-on stuff, but I'll tell you one TV show or one show that is moderately interesting I want to try and check out is that Billy Bob Thornton, it's like, I don't know, it's called Oil Man or something like that, but that one seems kind of interesting, so I may try and check that one out.
Yeah, that was called Land Man. That's all part of that whole, well, it's not really part of that Yellowstone universe, but it's the same guy, Sheridan, Taylor Sheridan, or whatever his name is, and it's all kind of part of his stuff. I've seen a bit of that, and I've asked my son-in-law, who hasn't seen it yet, you know, how accurate some of the oil field stuff is, and he says what little bit he's seen seems fairly accurate. And I would think so, because that Tyler Sheridan lives down there, and he brings in actual roughnecks to, you know, to kind of, like, consult and actually be extras. So you would hope he'd get it right. He seems like it'd be easy enough, right? But, yeah, you keep saying Chinese something heater, and I'm missing the middle word. I thought you said Chinese diesel heater, which it could be. You know, runs on diesel. I don't know, but I think I'm more missing the word. But I don't know. You tell me. But I'm not quite sure I understand what we're talking about. Anthony, and then Ben can catch that when it comes around.
Ben, I was going to ask you the same thing. What are you doing to these diesel heaters that you are modifying them to, quote-unquote, making them better? I've seen them. I know what you're talking about. And excuse me, Sean, I think he's saying cheap Chinese diesel heaters. What are you doing to them to make them better? Over to you, Ben.
Yep, sorry about that. I'm trying to drive a multicast here. Yeah, so Chinese diesel heaters apparently is a patent that the Germans had, I think, what's going on? I'm having a brain fart. But anyway, their patent ran out, and the Chinese have taken over this thing, and they're $100 or less, $80 on Amazon. But as you can expect, it's not, I mean, the actual device itself is pretty solid. It's just a little diesel engine with a glow plug in it. But they use cheap pumps and, you know, stuff like that. So you take them and kind of get rid of the cheap pump, put one that doesn't make a lot of noise on it, make them quiet. And they're nice because they kick out, the heat that they kick out is dry. So I don't know if you guys do any ice fishing or sitting in like a hunting blind, but when you use a propane heater, it gets really moist and foggy inside, and the diesel heaters don't do that. So that's kind of the attraction.
Huh, I'll have to check that out. Are they okay for not a total, a somewhat confined space, like a garage space? Are they okay for something like that, or you got to have a lot of ventilation, or a lot of room around them? How's that all work, again, when it comes around? Anthony?
I'll throw it right over to Ben. I want to hear the answer to this.
Gotcha, I'll trade you for the cannoli still. We're still off with that one. Yeah, so it's a diesel engine, and it has exhaust, so you have to exhaust it outside. But talk about YouTube rabbit holes. Just Google Chinese diesel heater, and you're going to be stuck for hours watching these guys that modify them. There's one dude in Australia that happens to be the hands-on expert, but the guys have taken them or they use the exhaust and they run them through an old iron hold on a second. The radiator, sorry, I was having a brain fart. So run the radiator to continue to recycle the heat. But yeah, they just shoot the exhaust out the wall of the garage or the shop or wherever they're at. But, you know, the exhaust pipe I'm talking about is literally about a half inch to three quarters of an inch in diameter. It's very tiny.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to look that up. Read up on it, see what they're all about. It's funny because I've got a propane heater that I was just monkeying with, and I was thinking about, and I've had torpedo heaters. I got a little mini torpedo, but I'd like to look into something like that as well. Cool. Give me something else to go down the hole on.
With you there, Ben, but I am about to pull up at the house, so I'll listen out. It was great talking to you guys this afternoon, KE8RUH, and I'll be clear.
Yeah, I'm actually pulling up as well, so timing's perfect. Great chatting with you guys. Didn't mean to butt into the conversation, but when you know the answer to a question and you want to blurt it out, sometimes you just got to blurt it out, so I wanted to stick my nose in. But it's great catching up with you guys, and Sean, hope the Bucks can pull it off for you coming up here. With that, I'll be clear on your final Whiskey 8. Go, Cindy Oscar.
All right, Ben, good hearing you. And, yeah, we try to get on here commuting in, commuting home. And sporadic after that. The other one's somewhat dead anymore. And I'm having some problems with the Mount Clemens and both the Detroit Mount Clemens are having a little issues. All right, catch you later. Good hearing you. W8FP. ABAYWAFU.
Did you see you're on the naughty list?
I'm on the naughty list?
Yeah. Somebody FOIA'd the SOS on all the rejected license plates.
Oh, well, I'm rocking it, but, I'll be damned. So, as a vanity, it's been banned.
Yeah, that's the funny thing, is you still get the letters.
It's funny how they can actually say that it's been disallowed, but yet I'm actually running it, so it really has just a matter of semantics.
Yeah, I think they have to because of the call sign.
Well, they didn't do it because of my personality.
Hey, you don't have any good connections up in the SOS?
I just left there, but no, not in that department, although I know people, but still, last I heard is that the group that makes those determinations changes frequently, so I could always make another attempt at it. I was going to wait and see when it shifts. I was going to go ahead and say, look, I already have this. I just want to get to Winter Wonderland. I don't want... You know, I just want it on a different plate. You know, see if anyhow I can appeal to somebody's common sense. But I also get their point, you know, that if it's on a vanity, then, you know, it's not obvious why we allowed it. Whereas if it's on an amateur radio plate, then it's not only obvious why we allowed it, but it's questionable whether they could even prohibit it.
Sure. Is the amateur plates kind of more of a courtesy, or is there some sort of law about them? But yeah, you're trying to find common sense in government. I get some optimism on that at another level.
Well, I think vanities are subject to, you know, whatever rule they put in place. There's no. But I think the amateurs are pretty clear. You know, the rules are you produce a license, you can get an amateur plate. I think it'd be hard for them to say, well, accept this, which we find unacceptable. Like, so the federal government finds it acceptable, you know, as an used anywhere. You know, but it doesn't meet your sensibility, you know, here in the Lone State Mission. So I think they'd have a hard time. You know, is an amateur plate a right? I don't know. I mean, if they're offering it, I don't think they can deny you. You know, it can't be, we'll give you an amateur plate subject to these rules. But, you know, so I think it would be somewhere between, you know, a right and, you know, something less than a right, you know. But if they're offering it, I think they have an obligation. I am just talking nonsense though now because I am not a lawyer and I don't play one on TV.
Yeah, I don't know what the laws are either. You hear all the people saying, oh, if you have an amateur plate, you can, go somewhere where you're not supposed to be because you could be doing something for Aries or whatever. I'm pretty sure that was probably never the case. There isn't anymore if it was.
I think it's nothing more than a courtesy, like getting a, U of M plate, Spartan plate, or any number of courtesies that, now, you know, I don't think we can get a U of M plate. I don't even know if you can get one of those customized, can you? I think you probably could. Yeah, I know you can, because I've seen people get clever with some of them that, like, the beginning has, like, an S, and then they'll spell out the rest of it with the letters. So I've seen vanity, whatever you call those things, custom plates? I don't know what you call them.
Yeah, they're fundraiser plates. Yeah, you could do vanity on those. It's just, you gotta pay for the vanity, you gotta pay for the fundraiser plate.
I really wouldn't care. What they should do, though, is they've had a goofy little, you know, picture, and we've talked about this in the past, but, you know, they got that goofy little tower. Why don't they just give us, you know, the Winter Wonderland instead of saying Winter Wonderland or something? Give us the same simple place, but just in letters at the bottom, just say amateur race. You know, if that would be, to me, that would be the one thing to do. You know, just get the stupid graphics that some, you know, junior high school kid won the contest for.
That's what it used to be, wasn't it? But, I don't know. I'm not allowed to get one, so I'd like to get call sign plate, but gotta get my own vehicle to do that.
Right. Are the plates that you have on your vehicles, are they the company plates? Or do you put your plate on a company vehicle? I'm guessing they're company plates, which would explain it.
Yeah, they're company plates. They're not M plates, like the manufacturer plates. They're regular license plates. But, they pay the registration, so they're regular citizen plates, just... I don't pay for it.
Well, get a fake one to put it on the front. If you even still got a place to put it on the front.
Well, this guy's got a, doesn't have a front plate. Yeah, I don't know. I was just, ex-wife had a cricket, and I was, cut out a vinyl sticker and throw it in the back window, call sign on it. The police had that, but then it got kind of a pain just to make a new one every year and scrape it off at the end of the year and kind of stop doing that.
So I don't know what happened on that last transmission, but you were dropping out, and it very well could be me. Where I'm at could be my network dropping, so I don't know where the problem was, but I'm coming up on Wixom Road, so I'll be in direct RF range pretty soon, but should be good from here on out. Hell, I shouldn't have no problem with my network in Wixom. Yeah, listening to your signal, I'm thinking it was more you than it was me, and I'm coming up on, I'm coming up to the city here, so pretty sure it wasn't a network issue for me. Anywho, where are you at? Are you in that no man's land between 2-6 and in the Flint or the Holly or whatever?
Yeah, I'm getting there. I'm going up on 7-bar right now. I'm jumping out of the hills, you know, now. But you'll get a machine up the car, and you'll get over here in the antennas.
You think Holly would cover? It's the highest ridge up there. You think that would cover everywhere? Oh, well.
Yeah, it's pretty much right after 93 and picks it up.
And what's basketball compared 93 is, which is 93 and where is basketball?
93 is 60 and basketball is 89.
So you're saying we need a pine knob repeater?
I think there's already one up there. I'm pretty sure that's what the Clarkson machine is.
Well, I don't care about them. I want my own.
Yeah, so straight out of the Auburn Hills repeater would be a possibility or not.
Yeah, you gonna put a mesh casting note on top of that building there you work out of?
I don't know that I'm allowed up there.
Yeah, for the fancy people.
Yeah, I don't have the stretch to go that high.
You have to get creative, man. Tell them why you need to go up there to test something. See you when you get back. W8FU. Oh man, all the way to the lodge and then boom, full stop.
Test 1, 2, 3.
Give me a minute to navigate this cluster, you know what, at 696 and 75. I'll be back.
Oh, just wait till March.
Okay. That's a tricky little thing to navigate for me because you got to get all the way over to the left to avoid all the stopped up traffic trying to get on the 75. And you got to stay kind of to the left because of all the crap getting off 696 on the eastbound, or off of 75 on the eastbound 696. All the while, I got to get off the very first exit, but not the second exit. But you got to be careful because you can't get over. You're over to the side because of all the traffic getting on, but you don't want to get all the way over as soon as you can because that'll push you off on the wrong exit. It's a real persnickety kind of thing, and I want the DeQuinter exit, so you got to pay attention. You've got to be on your toes when you're trying to get off on DeQuinter when you're coming from west of I-75 on 96-96. But I've done it now, and I am now on northbound DeQuinter, and clean and green.
Yeah. Just wait till March when they close it down for 2 years. See how much of a cluster that comes now. Yeah. Hit the no man's land that my mom called.
I thought you were gone a little longer than you needed to for just to make the transition. So that explains it. And, yeah, I got a couple of, I've got this meeting I was just at. There's another one in March. And then I've got to go to Muskegon in March. So that's at least twice I'm going to be coming across. But I'll probably go north on 75 and take 59 across. Well, actually coming home, I'll probably come 59, take 75 down. Going out, I'll be good to go. Just have to remember, hopefully my whatever mapping program I use remembers for me and finds a good alternate route, or at least jogs my memory.
So interop is early March, is it before that starts?
I think interop's like 3rd, 4th, 5th, like that first week, and then the Interop Board, which is the sponsor of the Interop Conference,
meet on the 17th, I think, is our next meeting. And then normally, we're quarterly, normally we wouldn't meet this quickly after, because that was what today was. But today was a make-up for a canceled one in December.
Well, as long as you're on the clock while you're driving.
Their car, their gas, their time, so it's all good.
Yeah, it's nice that you can get to take the present.
And yet, I'd still rather not. So go figure. Anyhow, Lance, I am coming up on my street. I'm gonna get off the radio, pull into the drive, park, and get inside the house. So I don't know how much longer you got to go, but be safe doing it. After yours, W8FQ.
We got about 10 minutes to get home and shove some food in my face and head back the other way to go skiing. So, 736 ABLY.
N8KPP.
N8DDF.
I'm going to say hi real quick, DBF, N8KPP. I'm almost home. Heard you in there.
N8KPP from N8DBF. Good afternoon. Appreciate you popping in. I'm a little late today, but I'm almost home, too. I was just on the phone for the bulk of my drive.
That's good. Hopefully it was something productive and it led to some financial resources in your wallet. So, yeah, we've been busy. Good things and bad things, but we've been pretty busy at work. So, you were the one that had all the Yaesu Pops, the FTM 500, right?
Yeah, and they replaced the main board now, so it's pretty much a brand new radio, and it should be on its way back. And as soon as it hits my door, I'm selling it if you know anybody.
Very good. What are you trying to get out of it?
Probably around four and a quarter.
Okay. I got a meeting tonight. I'm helping out a little bit with this McCallmar AFPTF thing. I'll bring it up.
Cool. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's, you know, pretty much brand new. Had it for about a week before it went back to issues, so still got the original box and all the fun things that came with it, so... I'm not ripping my truck apart again to put it back in here. I've got a 51 car that I'm beyond happy with, and that's what's going to stay in here.
That's a D-Star radio as well, right?
Correct. I live in Elmont. I'm very close to Auburn Hills and Lapeer, where there's D-Star, so I'm going to hang tight, and I never really did anything on Fusion anyway. And if I want to, I do have an open spot.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, the only nice thing about Fusion is there's some real monster freaking repeaters with Fusion. You know, and I think it's all geographical. I really do. I think it's all where you're at and what you're doing, you know. So, yeah. So, with that, sir, I'm pulling in the driveway. You have a good day, and I'll talk it up tonight. So, take care of bad trouble. Keep warm, although it is finally warming up a little bit. I see it's 30 degrees. And EDF. NAKPP, clear up you.
All righty. Have fun at your meeting, and you know how to get a hold of me if you got any questions, and I'll catch up with you later. NAKPP.
10-4. Phone. W-8-E-A-P.
July.
NXTP Mobile.
Hey Wally, did you call me on the VoIP? Yeah, I did, but I got it. I talked to Dave. I had a dumb question on trying to program this little mesh chatfic device, but Dave helped me. The techie part I was okay with, but heck, I couldn't even figure out how to get him to darn thing to get it started, but he helped me.
All right, but I mean just now. I mean, did you call me like within the last 5 minutes or 10 minutes?
Negative. This morning I tried calling you, but that was about it.
Oh, okay, yeah, today was Lansing. I wasn't really incommunicado, except for when I was driving to and fro. I did try to get a hold of you while I was driving out, but I was noisy. You couldn't quite make me out. By the time I got switched over, you were gone. But, okay, all right, I'm tending to something here. I'm going to get to it, dinner, and then I'll be back in a bit. All right, W8FU.
Okay, heading towards the ARPCS thing.
A-K-A-P-P-P-C-K-E-J-O.
What up, sir?
Heading in the same direction that you are heading.
Oh, very good. Sounds like fun. Okay. Now, were you in charge of bringing the girls for the beer?
I'm just in charge of bringing me a banana through the meeting. It's at, it's over here at the college campus, isn't it?
ISD building, Garfield, 44001, maybe? Hold on, let me look. Yeah, 44001, Garfield.
All right, that's what I thought. I'm on Garfield. I just turned off the 14.
Very good. How'd your day go?
Spun my wheels at one account for, past 6.5 hours.
Now that sounds like fun. No, nothing big with me. I did break down and buy one of the little cheapy $35 Mishcastic devices just to see what it would do.
That sounds interesting.
I figured, what the hell? If the UHF doesn't get me, the 900 stuff might as well. Although I do think they consider 900 UHF.
And my daughter's going to send me the link for that arrow antenna that her and her brother got me for Christmas, because it's UHF only, and I need a dual band duplex type. So got to get that traded in. And I got to order the cable for it so I can hook it up to my MB380, so I can start waving my arm in the sky.
You know, that sounds like fun. You can talk to the astronaut, or you plan on bouncing up and back down. What's your plan?
Both. Pointing up there when they kind of pass over, get a QSL in there, and then sit with Captain Don and learn how to bounce off the ISSs, or the other satellites.
Yeah, that's his thing, and he's good at it. This radio stuff, everybody's got their thing. And I'm sure when that bug bites me, I'll go find him, too.
It's just keeping me occupied. You know, when I'm on the road or something like that, I'll take it. 10 minutes, I gotta get it taken apart and fold it down or something like that. I don't know, I'll figure out when I get it, kind of thing. And then stand there with my little DB3 and wander around the sky and see if I can bounce off of something. He's gonna show me how to read the graph on the, with the little dots on the radar and the satellite and stuff like that.
I think a lot of these radios do that now. I thought my, as a matter of fact, I did see it. That was kind of easy to figure out. You have to put the open firmware, and this is just me vaguely thinking I had it. I didn't do anything with it, but I think you have to put your GPS coordinates in it, and then it tells you what's where and when.
Yeah, I have to connect the radio to the computer, update the satellite info, and then download it to the radio, and then sit there and figure out which satellite is where, and at what azimuth, and then at what time. And I think it all goes by GMT or UTC, one of the two.
I don't know what Greenwich has got over Ross. I never could figure that out.
In other words, what angle of attack do I use holding the antenna, and at what time of day do I do that angle of attack to bounce it off of one of the satellites out there?
There you go. You're going to be one of those guys out there at 3 in the morning in the middle of the summer pointing strange things at the sky, and your neighbors are going to call the police and say you're up to something funny.
No, I got some pretty cool neighbors, and, you know, one does cars, the other one does landscaping or whatever else, but my one neighbor, his girlfriend, is around my daughter's age, and they just hooked up yesterday and talking about libraries and books and everything else like that, so now they're going to start hanging out.
Got to ask about them. You ought to tell them that the aliens are coming, and, you know, it's your job to find out when and where. NAKPP, because they ain't said that in a while.
KCKPO. Well, I know where the aliens are coming in. Down there just south of San Diego.
That's a different kind of alien. I'm talking about the one that's coming from the sky.
Yeah, it's just a whole new world that I'm learning. I mean, ever since I met you and Don and Sean and, you know, and a couple other guys just on the radio, or you and Don personally, and my eyes have just been opened up in regards to amateur radio. So I'm really excited. As in, one can never have too many radios.
Oh, dude, I am just crazy. With these radios. I know that NAPBS has got a 500 ASU that he wants to sell for about $400, and I know it's been in and out of the shop a bunch of times, but they got that radio right. That'd be a good deal for somebody, because, I mean, there's fusion repeaters all over the place around here. There's one sponsor one over there in Southfield, and somebody told me the antenna was like almost 300 feet in the air.
Yeah, that's somewhere in the future there. I guess I'm still, when I get some spare time, you know, I'll start studying a little bit more for my general kind of thing. You know, I'm getting there on that. Now that I'm back to work, I hardly have enough time to do a lot of things. Plus, you know, with being on the Planning Commission, I got all that paperwork I'm trying to do, and it's just a bit of a mess here and there.
F you. Somebody's here. Go ahead. N-A-K-P-P.
Hey, it's just me, Wally. By the way, let them know, I just got in from Lansing and got changed and went and got some food. We're just sitting down, so I'm not going to make it. I'll see if I can dial in. But if anybody asks, Paul or anybody, it's just like, it's hard. Not that I really plan on making it often, but I do try. It's on my mind.
But anyhow, yeah, I just got in, and it's no way I'm going to make it out there. All right, I'll let you guys carry back on. W8FU.
Yeah, okay, no problem. Yeah, I know. I think that the plan was to zoom some of it or most of it or all of it. I did see some text floating around about that. So I'm sure, I thought I saw Paul was going to be on the zoom part of it as well. But I don't think the agenda is that big. They're talking about some of the classes and the test. And I have to look at my schedule. I might have some big-time conflicts, so I might need some help here with Tom to do some of the simplex stuff. So, very good. Carry on. I'm a tall rude, so I should make it on time for this one.
Listeners, will give me a couple of minutes to dig in this crap hole of a vehicle of mine to see if I can find that power cable for that Kenwood.
I'm trying to turn right here on Old Road, and I don't want to chance it. Just dewy enough out here. I can't tell if they're in my lane or the lane over, and I'm not going to risk it.
Sure is a lot of vehicles here.
I have made it. I have arrived. Not there. In front of the Ford store. Are you there yet?
Yeah, I'm just pulled in the parking lot trying to find a spot to park.
Looks like Mr. Melody bought him some pretty new lights.
Who and where?
The Ford store, the parking lot's all lit up nice and pretty. It looks like he bought him some new LED lights that look really sharp.
Oh, okay. I don't know, I gotta put that magma strobe for my son's truck. I gotta put it on this little park cart. That's a big extra one. I'm working on gates.
There, I jumped up the channel. Does that work better for me? NHABB.
Yeah, you can do. Yeah, I jumped over to MC.
I don't use that one too much. I use the Warren or the Richmond. Always seems to work okay for me.
I think my position, my satellite position was kind of, I was getting kind of staticky on Warren, so I just moved over to MC, dropped it down to 5, and you got me. I'm like the west row to the arch to here on the south side. Use AD. Can't miss me. Big billboard.
Yeah, a half a van and a big billboard.
This is not a van. This is a park cart because you feel like a retard driving it.
Yeah, I got a Ford Escape and I really like it. I think that's what this thing is. Ford Escape, all-wheel drive. I mean, it doesn't look like much, but I'm telling you what, this thing just handles so nice. And when the roads are slippery and everything else, you can't tell the roads are slippery. It's fairly quiet inside and relatively problem-free. I can't complain about this little vehicle.
No, I like my little van, you know, this little Transit Connect XL, whatever they want to call it. It's nice. I mean, I'm comfortable in it. I drove one of the big Transits, and I don't like them. They're just... You sit weird in it, the pedals and the steering are weird, you know, it wobbles all over the place, I feel like I'm going to fall over, you know, but I think my next vehicle is supposed to be one of those Mavericks, and everybody is raving about those Mavericks, so I know it's a hybrid, but hey, one, it's free, and two, you know, it's a truck.
That's what my son drives around. We bought some of the Mavericks. We always lean towards Fords as far as for the cars go, and office-wise, and we always lean towards GMCs as far as the one-tons and the ton-and-a-halfs go, and when we get into our bigger trucks, they're all international. So, but we're I think we pretty much had it up to our neck with the
the GMC. Every time we take them in for anything with that little check engine like that pops on, you can kiss $4,000 or $5,000 goodbye. And with some of the Ram trucks, we've got a couple of those too. We never have emission stops with those. So I have a strange feeling that we're done with GMC diesels.
Yeah, both my kids got the F-150s. My daughter's got an 18 and my son's got a 17. And from what my daughter told me, she wants to stay away from the 20 and 21s because of the whole chip shortage thing. So if you have one of those, you might end up getting one of those chips that came from a Ski-Doo or something.
Yeah, I know. You know, there for a while there was low fuel light. That ain't good. You know, there for a while there, like the start-stop features on some of the cars was actually disabled because they couldn't get chips on them. I mean, there's a button on it, the dash has got it, and all that other stuff, but that function never really worked, and they just sent the cars out without it. And my son was having some problems with his stereo system, also another shortage problem. And he took it to a radio store because he was going to buy his wife a nicer stereo system because she's kind of a music buff. And the guy says, you don't need a nicer stereo system, he said. And the guy was real honest. You don't need a nicer stereo system. He says, you need the amplifiers installed. And he goes, well, what do you mean by that? He goes, well, when they shipped these out, they didn't have the amplifiers. And he says, and they just shipped them out and didn't tell anybody. So it was like a real high-end, like Harden-Kardon stereo system that he had in it. And each speaker was supposed to have an amplifier, and they didn't have amplifiers. They shipped them without the amplifiers.
Wonderful. Are you in the parking lot?
About 3/10 of a mile before I make a turn.
You go just past the south archways. Where the lights, you know, where that center island is with the row of trees, just past that, and down probably about 5 cars.
Yeah, I'm waiting to turn left to turn right. Well, I can see the McCombs Center for Performing Arts right now. Yeah, that amplifier story, that kind of bothered me. You would think that, you know, Chrysler, Stellantis, whoever the heck they're called this year, you would think that they would have done a recall or sent off a letter or something like, hey, we're sorry, we didn't have amplifiers at the time. But they didn't say anything. So, and I guess it's anybody that wants to listen to the radio more than just background noise has the problem. And gotta give the radio shop that credit. At least he was honest.
That makes me buy more stuff.
Okay, I think I'm turning in. NAKPP. Where's your billboard?
If you're in that white car, turn left.
NAKPP, clear out on the side and all that other fun stuff.
Get your clear.
K-E-A-D-K-P, K-E-A-D-K-P, K-I-4-A-C-A. Charles, if you're around, if you have your scanner on, you can hear me. Can you cut your echo link on? Can you cut your echo link on if you can hear me on your scanner? K-E-A-D-K-P, K-I-4-A-C-A. We're clear on this one.
Maybe it was.